Greetings. This is Pastor George filling in this week for Pastor Rock as we roll into week number 26 of our 91-week journey through God's Word. In this week's reading, we find ourselves in the opening chapters, specifically 1 through 5, of Paul's letter to the church in Rome as he addresses both Jew and Gentile believers. And as you read through these chapters, it would be hard not to notice that Paul spends a lot of time emphasizing that salvation comes by faith in Christ alone. In other words, salvation is all about placing our faith in what Jesus did, not what we're able to do. And I also think Paul does an excellent job of explaining in great detail the purpose behind the Old Testament law, what it was intended to do, and what it was never intended to do. And he also made it clear that obeying the law perfectly in order to achieve salvation is an impossible task. The truth is, our only hope to be saved from the mess the first Adam got us into is to place our faith in the second Adam, Jesus. So as I prayerfully read through chapters 1 through 5, seeking a transformational principle to share, Romans chapter 1, verse 12 immediately jumped out at me. Now, the truth Paul shares in this verse is subtle, and you may have to read between the lines, but it contains a vital principle for pursuing and maintaining transformation in your life. But sadly, it's one that's slowly losing favor among God's people. As I read verse 12 in chapter 1, Paul wrote this to the church in Rome regarding his desire to visit with them in person, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. Did you catch that? Because it's easy to miss. You see, one of the issues facing the church in modern times, and ACAC's not immune, is this idea that we can grow in our faith and even increase our intimacy with God without the need for gathering frequently in community with one another. But this is a false pretense, because growing in our faith and gathering together frequently with one another are tied directly together. It's the way God intended the church to function. As members of Christ's church, we were never meant to live the Christian life alone. And Paul knew this. Paul also knew that living in frequent, consistent community with one another, visiting one another, sharing meals together, worshiping and praying together, serving together, reading and studying God's Word together, confessing our sins to one another. These are all essential ingredients, not only for church growth, but for personal growth as well. We grow and transform as we live, learn, love, and care for one another. That's what the church was meant to be. And Jesus said as much when he revealed that the unbelieving world will recognize that we're his followers by our unconditional, supernatural love for one another. You see, the devil loves these recent trends of believers gathering together less frequently because that weakens the church. He knows there's strength in numbers, and when we're isolated, we become vulnerable whether we realize it or not. Look, as you've probably noticed since we began with week number 1, there really are no shortcuts to transformation. God doesn't wave a magic wand and we're instantly transformed. The truth is, in order to seek transformation in our lives, we must be intentional and make efforts to pursue it. And it's not always easy, because living in community with others can be inconvenient. It requires us to step out of our comfort zone at times and become vulnerable. It requires us to put the needs of others ahead of ourselves and to walk in honesty and humility. It requires us to forgive those who have hurt and wounded us. And it requires us to consider the perspectives and viewpoints of people that don't look like us, vote like us, or that grew up in different environments with different life experiences. And the truth is, sometimes it just feels easier and more comfortable to isolate ourselves, because then we can focus inwardly and only feel responsible for looking after our own needs. But that's not the church the way Jesus meant it to be. Now, Paul's words here also remind us that every time we get together as the church, doing so encourages the body. In other words, we build each other up and edify one another. Paul not only wanted to dispense encouragement to the church by meeting personally with them, but he also wanted to receive encouragement as well. Because after all, we all need to be encouraged. And it's reassuring to know that there are others on this journey with us, and that we have each other's back no matter what the world and the devil throw our way. When you get right down to it, I think the best way to describe the church is family. In fact, that's how our CMA president, Dr. John Stumbo, refers to us, a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family, because a family sticks together and loves one another unconditionally. In fact, family is the perfect description of the church as it was meant to be. I think Jesus designed the church to operate as a family, so that every time we gather, we have an opportunity to live and interact as a family unit. And that not only brings glory to God, but it comes with benefits because we get transformed in the process. That's why it's so important to engage with our church family more than just attending the weekend worship service. The worship service is nice and is a component of what we do within the broader context of our church family. But some have the idea that the weekend worship service is church, and that's just not scriptural. The church, as Jesus designed it to be, is so much more. It's about building and maintaining deep, meaningful relationships, personal and honest relationships. And we can't do that if all we do is attend a church service 2 to 3 times per month. That's why we establish growth groups that are designed to be small, grace-filled family communities, devoted to one another and growing together around God's Word and intimate, loving relationship. And that takes intentional, consistent effort that's not always easy or convenient. Another good way to grow together as a family, in addition to growth groups, are through service opportunities. Because when we serve together, we unite for a common purpose in unselfish acts of love to serve one another, whether they be in the kingdom or not. We sacrifice as Jesus did for us, using the gifts God has blessed each of us with. And when we serve in community with each other, there's a real divine power that's at work in our midst. Jesus is honored when we serve others in his name. And when we do that, we grow together as a family. But we also transform personally. Paul knew all this, and that's why he longed to be with all the churches as often as he was able. Let me leave you with one final thought. Francis Chan, in his recent book entitled Letters to the Church, wrote the following in chapter 1 as it relates to his personal intimacy with God. Quote, "Lately I've become obsessed with knowing and experiencing God. The strangest part about this season of my life is that my intimacy with God has been directly tied to my connection with the church. This is really weird for me because for years I felt closer to God when I was away from other people and alone in my prayer room. For the first time in my life, I actually feel closer to God when I'm praying alongside my church family. It's as if I can sense his actual presence in the room with us. It makes me want to stay in a room with them all because I want to get as close to Jesus as possible." End quote. Now it seems like Brother Chan has discovered something that Paul wrote about a couple thousand years ago. When the church gathers, Jesus is there with us. Why wouldn't we want more of that as often as possible? This is Pastor George. Have a great week.